Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. We're building up towards Liverpool versus Borussia Dortmund, the first game of the ICC 2018. For us anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, over in Charlotte. We won't be there for this one. We will have our wonderful intrepid explorer cameraman Sean Kelly over there to bring back some cool stuff. But stay tuned to the channel for that, of course. But Chris, this is weird. Initially when I was typing out my thoughts on this one, I was going to go with like a pre-season kind of start here, but because of the way of the players coming back and what have you, tangibly, there's not going to be any major difference, I think, in terms of the personnel that we've got available to us here. We've seen the wonderful homoerotic pictures of Salah and Mane back in training along with Grujic, which people are far less, you know, care far
I
less about.
I genuinely haven't seen a picture of Grujic. I've seen loads of Salah and Mane.
I've seen lots of people like text saying that he's back, but zero pictures. So nominally, we're probably looking at a very similar sort of situation to what we've had.
Does that
so
mean pre-season doesn't start here?
Well, pre-season, the real pre-season, I think we're going to start to gear up, I think, kind of from here. What we've discussed so far is we've been doing these 45 minutes, you know, two teams kind of thing. I suspect, if anything, that will probably come to an end now, and we'll probably start to see more of a settled side and more like a typical match rhythm, if nothing else.
Maybe, yeah. I think, you know, it wouldn't surprise me to see more of a 60-minute side, something like that, and a 30-minute side. I don't think we're ever going to get into 90 minutes while we're in America. I just think back to the last time we went a couple of years ago, and, you know, there was still lots of substitutions and stuff like that during the game. So I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because we say it all the time, don't take pre-season too seriously. But as soon as you're sat in front of a football match, you can't help but take pre-season seriously. So, you know, first half in the last game, I was really disappointed. I was quite bored, if I'm honest with you. Second half, on the other hand, it was much better to watch. I think the players that were involved, just seeing Virgil van Dijk back in the side, didn't look like he'd missed a beat, to be honest with you. He just looked straight into it. Seeing Naby Keita sort of, you know, being able to drive forward and start playing through balls, we're starting to see something from him that we hadn't seen in the previous game. So, although I don't think the games themselves are necessarily more important, we will see more from the players during these games, and they're going to start hitting their rhythm a bit more.
And naturally, it's a step up. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of teams Man City put out. They've brought a team of kids to this tournament, effectively. But interesting from a Dortmund perspective, you know, you've got the likes of, you know, you could have Royce, Goethe, Nuri Sahin. Pulisic is going to be the interesting one, getting to cast a few glances over him. I do wonder, I don't think Liverpool are going to make a move for Pulisic this summer, by the way, but I do wonder whether, you know, Liverpool's owners tend to be around for these games. I wonder whether seeing him in the flesh and seeing how the response is to him could have an interesting thing. It was a point you made years ago about how Pulisic would be an FSG dream sign, and because get that guy who's going to be the face of a nation, and it could be something that kicks you on in a commercial sense as well as a footballer.
Absolutely, and I think you've got to think of these things as a major player in European football again, don't you? And you know, we've been trying to break the American market. That's why we've been going over to America for the last couple of years and stuff. Well, it's twice now, isn't it? We've been over there every 2 years now. That's an important market for Liverpool. Obviously, they'll get money from going and taking part in the ICC, but ultimately they want a fan base over there, an engaged fan base that's willing to spend money and willing to back the team. And that's what you've seen. There already is that over in America, and that will grow even more if you can sort of hang your hat on, there's an American guy playing for that team. Why wouldn't you sort of, if you're on the fence, you're deciding who to support, bang, straight in, loads more revenue for the football club, you'd hope, and not only that, most importantly, you get an incredible footballer for it as well.
Yeah, it's worth us noting that at the time of filming, and you know, we're filming this only a couple of days before the game, they haven't actually announced the squad, so obviously we don't want to get too into it. So I thought it may be a little bit of a retrospective to some extent about players that have impressed you. I was watching that Blackburn game and slightly different. I don't think the first half was great, but I was entertained enough by it. But the players that stood out for me, one of the players that stood out for me, who I didn't expect to stand out, has been Nat Phillips as a centre half. I mean, and it makes you wonder whether we'd have seen him at all if, let's say, Trent had been available to us.
Or Lovren was back.
Or Lovren was back. And I mean, that from the Trent perspective, as much as we've seen Gomez pushed back to right back again, I'd like to have seen, but I think Gomez has looked really comfortable at right back, as you'd expect, because he should be better at it. He's done a solid season there for us now. But like the likes of Nat Phillips, I look at him and I just don't think, I think we've got a little undercurrent all of a sudden of three, maybe more, I've forgotten some young lads, like under 18s, who are going to be in the under 23s, who I think we're safe to call upon. Obviously Nat Phillips, he's not really been drawing the plaudits, but Curtis Jones,
yeah,
he looks better and better and better every single time
he does. And you know, I was sat with Matt from This Is Anfield during the game yesterday, and we were talking about him, and one of the things that he said to me was, I really want to see him in and around the first team this season. And he actually said the words, I'd loan Woodburn out and keep Jones,
yeah,
because Jones looks really exciting, you know, and also I think he's probably a bit better suited in his skill set to be able to play those wide positions, where I do feel we're a little bit shorter. Maybe if Woodburn, because of his probably half a yard of pace that he's maybe lacking, wouldn't suit one of those wing positions, and we're probably quite stocked in centre midfield, Jones could be an interesting option for it. It's something that I fully agree with. You know, every single game he has stood out. Whereas, you know, Camacho, I think, was probably your third player maybe that you were talking about.
Yeah.
I think the first game, he didn't really stand out for me. But the Tranmere game, he stepped it up, and the game since then. So every time since then, he's stood out for me. And he's been very, very good. So, yeah, I'm really impressed with these lads. And they're players that you can think, these fit the style. You know, they might not be there yet, but you can see that they've got a high ceiling. Yeah. You can see that they're technically gifted. You can see that they understand the tactics that Jürgen's probably asking of them. They're well drilled. Physically, they might not all be there yet, but in Jones's case, I kind of don't think that matters. Whereas maybe it does a little bit more for Camacho, but Phillips is a big guy, you know, a big, strong guy. And he doesn't look out of place in a back line with whoever he's played with, which is a real compliment.
He hasn't looked the junior defender. And no. I'll give you an example of it. Like Kelleher came on, who's effectively like the second choice youth goalkeeper, I guess, at this point. We saw Grabada against Berry, and he looked like a kid in goal, effectively. Phillips hasn't looked like that, you know, as you say. You know, you wouldn't have, if you didn't know. I judge a few of these performances, and that's why it's been quite an interesting pre-season. You look at some players and you're like, if you didn't know the backstory, you wouldn't be like, oh, this lad never played with the senior team before, him and Curtis Jones. And I think it's interesting as well when you've got the likes of Shea Ojo, you've seen Wilson going out on loan. You see Kent, you'd be shocked if he was at any further involvement, because he's not been really given the opportunities as much this pre-season. But you're looking at it and going, there's those lads there who are in the perfect bracket, that they're young enough that it'll still benefit them playing under 23s football this season, but they're also good enough that if you had a major crisis or you really wanted to cover what you were doing, I would not be upset to see Curtis Jones get a look in the first team, as an example.
I know it's pre-season. You know, we say it all the time, and I know the opposition that we've come up against isn't the best, but he has looked so comfortable and fearless in possession, which even as I could put myself in that situation, you know, it would be a dream. As a young lad going into that side, I'd play within myself a little bit, or I'd try too hard. This lad's just playing his normal game to me, and he just doesn't look like a fish out of water at all.
I thought it was interesting, though, one little note on that. It was like the first 15, 20 minutes of the Blackburn game, I think he was trying a bit too hard. He was getting himself in trouble. He was being a bit too aggressive in what he was doing. He gave away a few fouls, and you could see him like, and you wonder whether that was like he'd been getting wound up a bit, like, impress here, and you're on the plane to America. It's one of those situations where, for me personally, and obviously people watching will have a clearer idea by the time this is out as to what Liverpool squad looks like exactly, I'd be perfectly content to see these lads go over on that. And unfortunately, the likes of Ojo, Kent, Wilson, etc., and Woodburn to some extent, lads who should be closer to the first team, actually we don't look as impressive as maybe they looked a year or two ago. All of a sudden, there's a new crop coming up who just look weirdly more ready.
Just a note of caution on like the Woodburn stuff and that. I think, again, you know, it's pre-season. I've said it three times already in this video, so apologies. You know, I was looking at doing a stats and tactics this week on Fabinho and Keita, and, you know, we got some footage of the game that I'd recorded and I'd looked back on and stuff like that. And I wanted to talk a little bit about Fabinho and him dropping in between the centre halves and stuff like that. And I think it was Chris Bascombe wrote an article in the Telegraph on Wednesday evening that came out, and right towards the end of the article, he had a quote from Klopp talking about Fabinho. Did you see this one?
I think this is from after the Tranmere game, when he talked about him having to learn how to
and he's
to
just dropping too deep and stuff like that. Now, I don't think Fabinho did it as much, but it must be affecting Woodburn's game. Mm-hmm. You know, if one of your midfielders is out of position, is dropping too deep, that you have to take your position off the players you're playing with, especially if you're in centre midfield. So although it might not look on the surface that Woodburn's really impressed, you don't know how much having players who aren't used to playing those positions, you might look good on the ball,
yeah,
but positionally, if they're in the wrong place, that might affect Ben Woodburn's game as well.
I think low-key Woodburn's been pretty good in pre-season. I think he's been very, very tidy on the ball. He's got a decent range of passing. But I think it's more, for me, it's the physical side of things, kind of what you were alluding to before. If you're looking at what we're asking of our midfielders, he was doing it. Naby Keita took a step up in the Blackburn game. He played with the shackles off a lot more. We saw Curtis Jones doing a similar thing as well. We know that Jeannie Wijnaldum can do that. We know that James Milner can do that. We know that Adam Lallana can do that. And I don't know whether Woodburn is either playing within himself or playing to the limits, or he's just adapting to a new role. But as it stands, you know, just ranking on what I've seen with my own two eyes so far, I don't have Woodburn in me. He's done more than some, but I don't think he just hasn't stood out in the
he's
way that
Sean. Does.
Exactly. That's a great way of saying it. So very interesting stuff. We're not going to do preferred 11s for this because it's just that we're on a hide into nothing, because we could be picking players that aren't going to be there. I would be really upset if Lazar Markovic doesn't go to the States, by the way.
I wouldn't be.
I was so impressed by him. It's so annoying because me and Matt were having a bit on the wind up over it at the game. Because he's a world-class
one on one
talent.
Side, one on the other, giving it the absolute beans about Lazar Markovic, and they know that I don't think he's good at all, and they just kept on going and going and going. And do you know the thing is, I think they both started to believe it a little bit more as they went along.
I know, I'm totally bought in to Lazar Markovic, because, and look, again, this is probably a moot conversation because almost certainly won't be involved because we've only seen him for 45 minutes in pre-season. There's been no indication under Jürgen Klopp that he's got any time for Markovic at all. But what you could see from it, it linked into us having a much better team in the second half. Having a lad who naturally knows what he's doing on the wing, whether he's brilliant or not, is kind of by the by. Solanke didn't look good on the left-hand side, and Origi didn't look good on the left-hand side when they were flipped in the previous game. Having a lad who just knows what he's doing makes a massive difference to what you're doing, and I still do believe that there's a big understudy-shaped hole for that position at the moment, particularly now that we know Sadio Mane is going to be playing the 10. Listen, let us know your thoughts. What would your preferred 11 be? Again, if the Liverpool squad's come out, you'll have a clear idea, so let us know in the comments below. Drop a like on the video, and if you want more on Alisson, who doesn't want more on Alisson? I want more on Alisson. We've got so much stuff. We've done a bit of a teaser video, like a taster of all the brilliant stuff we've done. You can watch that, of course. But there's literally five amazing shows dedicated to all different aspects of what it means to Liverpool, whether it's just emotional, a load of us here buzzing about it, to European football expert Andy Brassel, ESPN journalist Glenn Price. And we've got, again, just every angle you could possibly hope to have covered. So get over to theredmentv.com if you need more. You just need more of the Reds in your life. Get involved in that. Start your 3-month trial and let us know how you get on with it in the comments below. Chris, thank you. I bid you all adieu. I shall see you on the other side of the Atlantic for Liverpool's tour. Ta-da.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.